those of you who don't know, my name's Emma Bennison. I'm the CEO of Blind Citizens Australia, and I have the enormous privilege of chairing this very short but very important session about a very exciting initiative with which Blind Citizens Australia and Blind Citizens... Sorry you feel that way. Blind Citizens Australia and Blind Citizens New South Wales supported, which was for a group of young people to attend the Enchanted Hills summer camp in California recently. And I thought that, and we thought, that it was a very good opportunity at this convention to get those people to tell us a bit about what happened and report back. We have very limited time, but we'll do our best. And then to have a brief open discussion about what kind of similar approach we might adopt in Australia. There are a number of us who really have benefited from camps in the past. We've already heard about the National Braille Music Camp. I could go on for hours about that, but I won't. But the importance of blind role models in a residential environment. And so I think it'll be useful to have an open conversation about what's most important if we were to look at this kind of model in the future in Australia. Obviously, the obvious answer is money, but putting that to one side, what would we like it to look like? So before we move into that, though, I'd like to hear from everybody on the panel. We have Tian Taylor. We have Crystal Keller, who's the Executive Officer of Blind Citizens New South Wales. We have Tess Whelan and we have Troy Gladwell. And excluding Crystal, they were all participants in the camp. But before we speak to them, I'd just like to get Crystal for you to make a brief comment about why BCNSW thought this initiative was important.
All right, thanks, Emma. Blind Citizens New South Wales really grabbed hold of this idea when Graham came back from visiting San Francisco last year. Graham, as you all know, is the president of Blind Citizens New South Wales. And he came back and told us about Enchanted Hills and that he'd met with Tony Fletcher, who's the director up there, and that it would be great if we could do something with them, some sort of exchange or just something. We weren't too sure what that was going to look like. And so I went online and I did a bit of research on Enchanted Hills and got really excited and just said, you know, we all agreed that we had to send some people over and find out what it was all about. And we wanted to do, I guess, two things. Both organisations are all about helping people to experience life and just get out there and do things. But we also wanted to find out how an organisation was able to run a camp for blind or vision impaired people for over 50 years. And we wanted to know what they were doing so that we could try and do something that would be as successful but be, tailored to an Australian environment. So Enchanted Hills is a camp that is about a couple of hours out of San Francisco in Napa in California. For those of you who don't know, there's quite a lot of fires going on in that area at the moment, so we're getting regular updates from our friends over there. They're all safe, which is the main thing. But the camp is possibly being affected, so, you know, thoughts and best wishes are with everybody over there that there's not too much damage. But where was I going with that? So it's a couple of hours out of San Francisco and it is this really beautiful place that these guys will tell you more about. And it was founded by a lady who is blind called Rose, and it's just this amazing place that's been going for over 50 years. And these guys just had the most amazing time, so I'm just going to let them talk about that.
Thank you. Really? Yeah, that's great. I echo Crystal's thoughts and best wishes. I've been in correspondence with Brian Bashan, the CEO of Lighthouse for the Blind, and he tells me that, things are good in terms of the people but not so good in terms of the camp itself. So it's I guess the people are the main thing, as Crystal says. So Troy, I might start with you. I'd just like to give you a couple of minutes just to talk to us about two things. What your take-home, most life-changing, most significant camp experience was, and your idea, your vision, if you have one, for what you think an Australian kind of camp approach might look like. Thanks.
For sure. There's so many life-changing moments that happened at camp, but I'll try and give you a story of one particular situation that was very powerful for me, and it turned out being very powerful for the camps as well. So in the camp situation, it's obviously up on Mount Vida, which is a redwood forest territory, so it's a beautiful place, steep hill. Yeah, we do a lot of hiking. There's an estuary running through the middle of the property as well. So the whole camp was out on a nighttime camp in this particular situation, and this is for the youth camp because we had many different camps all amalgamated into one week after week pretty much. We're all out there, and then all of a sudden one of our campers had a pretty severe emotional breakdown. Really questioning his self-worth. You know, he just kept on creating a mantra for himself: I'm not a good person, I'm not a good person, not a good person. I'm 43. A lot of the campers were a lot younger, counsellors as well. So I just watched how the other counsellors were interacting with this young man. These young men that were actually talking to this guy were 19 and 20 respectively themselves. Still, you know, a lot going on in their own lives. So I sort of just let it go because they did the whole placating, no, you're a great person, you know, this, all the rest of it, which stemmed his anxiety at the particular time. So when we got back to the cabin, you know, I just decided to open up a conversation with this young man. Because there's 10 people in our cabin at that particular time. There's three counsellors as well. And just got the ball rolling. I just started talking to him and questioning why, you know, he was feeling the way he was. Giving him frames of reference with my own life. And before we knew it, we had just about all the other boys from all the other cabins crammed into our little cabin, listening and participating. This talk ended up going for almost 3 hours.
Wow.
You know, and I just laid it all out in the cards. They could ask out on the table. They could ask me anything, my embarrassments, my failures, my successes, how I deal with things, you know, what I wish I could have done, the whole gamut. And everybody participated. And at the end of the night, you know, everyone was very positive and interactive, and it was a real bonding moment for a group of young boys that probably would have never done this initially, just through pride or self-preservation. At the end of the camp, all the campers are actually asked to fill out a survey on what were their favourite memories of the camp, and quite a lot of the boys that I was actually assisting fill out the forms actually put down as their number one thing that they enjoyed the most was this camp, that this talk that I had with them.
Wow.
You know, and we're talking about a camp where, you know, people are shooting, they're, you know, doing archery, they're doing boating, they're doing hiking, mm. they're horse riding, they're swimming. And, you know, that was really powerful for me to see just how important that is, that other people, you know, need that older experience to actually pass on and normalise that what they're experiencing at that particular time is normal, and everybody goes through it. Mm. You know, but there are strategies and resources available if you are open enough to, you know, put yourself out there, that you can actually utilise them.
Mm.
Personally, another thing that was really powerful for me was before I lost my eyesight, I was actually a builder. So at that particular stage, I lost my eyesight at 20, and I was naive enough to let people tell me that I couldn't do that job anymore. At the camp, there's this man there that is a fully qualified chef and a fully qualified builder, and he is still working as the builder on the camp. He runs classes teaching the blind kids. He's got no sight at all. He's been blind since birth. And he's teaching the kids how to utilise all the machinery. There's nothing in the building industry he does not do. He teaches kids how to use table saws, band saws. I did check his fingers. He's got them all. And, you know, it was a really invigorating time as well to go and be a part of that program and watch all these kids that are absolutely terrified of the noises and what could the potentialities that could happen, and then seeing them accomplish making a little jewelry box or a, you know, whatever it was, and they get to take that home knowing that they single-handedly made every aspect of that.
That's great, Troy. I'm going to stop you there. I know I asked you a second question, but I'm actually going to stop you because I think we just need to hear everybody's experiences first. Can I go to Tian now? You sound so enthusiastic.
I'm so excited. I wish I had half an hour just for myself.
So do I.
Anyway,
so,
no, so yeah, Enchanted Hills Camp, everyone called it EHC. I was one of those people that applied because I just love camp. I went to Vision Camp as a kid and I loved it. If they still had them, which they will because we're going to do it, I will be there every year. So when I got to Enchanted Hills Camp, I really didn't know what I signed up for. I didn't really know a whole lot about it. And one of the phrases that I always heard was, "See you next year." Everyone was like, "See you next year, see you next year." I was like, "Why is everyone, see you next year, okay, right, I don't even know what I'm doing next year." But it was a frequent saying at EHC, and after I experienced my 2.5 months there, I really, really understand why people count down to next year, because I totally am. So I met a number of amazing people over there, and a high percentage of the actual staff had vision impairments, including the entire kitchen staff were completely, some of them were completely blind, some of them had low vision, and some of them were deaf blind. So that was really good to see. One of my campers, the great impact of EHC that was running, that had been running for over 50 years, is one of my campers had actually, this year was her 54th summer of being at the camp. Which I thought was just remarkable to be sitting next to someone and listening to her stories. And she was telling me how in 1967 was the first year that the talent show came and, you know, she sang this and stuff. So that was really empowering for me. I suppose I have a few highlight moments. One of my favourite sort of things, stories, I suppose you'd say, was... In the adult session, so the adults range from ages around 24 or so, up all the way through to, I didn't ask how old the oldest person was, but went all the way up. So they have casino night, and a part of casino night they had bingo night. And if anyone knows anything about me, I get a little bit excited about games. So I sat next to a camper and helped him read his bingo card. And this year was his first year there. And he was in about his 70s or so. And he was a little timid camper who I was like, "Oh, excited for bingo night. Like, you know, you're going to get up when I say the card's bingo, we got to stand up and say bingo." He's like, "Oh, yeah, okay." Like a bit nervous. By the second round of bingo, he was yelling, bantering, saying, "Call out number 67, 67, because that was the number that he needed to win. So that was so much fun. And stuff like that, I think you really appreciate. He came out of his shell in that environment. Another camper that really sort of made you appreciate all kinds of life was one of the youth boys. He unfortunately is no longer with us. Sorry.
That's okay.
But it was a huge privilege to get to know him. Every morning, Tim, who also went as an Aussie, we did the nature walk. And so we discussed the songs that we would request on OJ Radio that they had. We made jokes.
Tian, was that a dedicated station?
It was a dedicated radio station to the entire camp. So in the afternoons, you could go up and request any song at all. And people went on there and told stories and made jokes and could actually run the radio station. So that was really cool to have. So this little boy in particular, he just loved life. Camp was literally his highlight, and he really made sure that everyone was having fun. He found out that we had GoPros that you could show everyone. So he was super excited to find one. We found one, and he was teaching me how to use a GoPro and, you know, where I had to stand to film his friends try and do the low ropes. But it was really enlightening to see his excitement and to be able to work build a friendship with him every day, and sort of it was a nice fresh thing to work with him, and they're doing a EHC is getting funds and they're dedicating a jukebox to him.
Oh, wow.
So I'm looking forward to going back and singing on that.
That's really, that's really nice. Yeah. Thank you, Tian. And I think it's really nice that you've got those memories, and I'm, you know, I'm sorry that he's no longer with us, but it's lovely to hold on to those memories. Now, Tess.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Okay. So I think you've heard stories, and we could sit here for the next 5 weeks and tell you about...
Find them at dinner.
Yeah, like we could sit here and talk till the cows come home. But I think that all the stories that have been told, and stories like Oliver's story, and also stories like the fires right now, it's all over my Facebook feed, and the comments under the posts are like they made me want to tear up. Like, it's so important to so many people, and the community that the camp creates is so, like, as you've heard, is so incredible, and it makes people realize that blindness doesn't define you. Blindness is a part of you and a part of who you are, and that doesn't mean you talk about it all the time. It's just, you know, you have brown hair, you have blue eyes, you're blind, you play soccer on the weekend. It's a part of who people are rather than what they are. And I think an EHC doesn't actually, they don't sit you down and give you talks about it. It's just, you know, you just teach a kid how to do archery, and it's just, then you go and you like go on a bushwalk with them. Like, it's in a very natural setting. No one gives you lessons on OT lessons on how to, you know, eat your food properly. It's just in such a natural setting that it's like, nah, mate, like the knives and forks are always on your right hand side or on your left hand side, or this is always here, and just, you know, oh, you know, when you go down the hill, it's on your right and stuff like that. Like, you'll do it, you'll get there. I got there, so you will, kind of stuff. And I think that it's the community and everyone. The other thing is that everyone there, the counselors, the campers, the kitchen staff, the director himself, they all grow every year. Like, the director is like in his 50s, and he would say that
it is.
It's his 20th year next year, and he'd say that every summer changes. And he's said, I'm paraphrasing, but every summer he learns something new, he has new experiences, and he changes, and the summer changes him for the better. And I think that it's and even if through these fires camp is damaged in some way, the people will still be there, and the people are still there, and they are there for, like, they'll be there building. Seriously, like, we're joking that we'll go over and build camp next year if they can't run camp. We will not be the only people there. This is true. But we will not be the only ones there. We will be, there'll be so many people there, they'll probably have to send people away. Like, it's the community. And if BCA can be involved in creating half the community that they have, it will be an incredible experience. So, don't have too many stories to tell, but I think that is what I want to take away, the community. That was my take-home message.
That's really nice. And, yep, sorry, go.
Oh. Hello. Hey, give it back.
There I am. I just want to say that we sent a really diverse group of people over. Tess was our youngest camper that we sent. She's 21, and Tim is quite happy to tell everyone that he was the grandfather of the camp, and he's 58. So there we go.
Yeah. Look, it's really clear listening to your stories, and I'm sure everyone here will agree with me. It's really clear that this had a profound effect on you. And I had the privilege of being part of a teleconference just after these guys came back, and it was really profound just listening to all the stories, and the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because, you know, they're with any large group of people coming together, there's always going to be teething problems and there's always going to be things that go well and things that don't go so well. But what really comes through is that sense of community. And I think, you know, it's one of the reasons we have convention, is to try and create that sense of community among all of us. And I think the opportunity to do that in a residential sort of setting where we can all support each other is hugely important, and especially for younger people, it's a huge opportunity. We haven't got a huge amount of time left, which I knew we wouldn't. Because I'm having problems with my clock. I would like to just throw to the audience now, just to ask people, what would their, if you could have a camp like this in Australia, what would you want it to look like in 30 seconds or less? What would you want it to look like? What's your burning desire?
Emma, it's Graham. There's good fires and bad fires, and the bad fires are currently in California, but the good fire was the one that I felt privileged to start when I came back from San Francisco with this idea, and I talked to Crystal and she got so excited about it that I got excited, and then all of the guys who went got excited. And I realise how important this interaction between people who are blind or vision impaired is in a community setting, because I experienced it when I was a teenager and a bit older. And I don't know what the camp will look like in Australia. We may buy a property, we may use another camp, we may have camps all over Australia in different sites. What I do know is that it is critical that the design of that camp is by us.
Mm. Yep, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Yep.
Comments?
Yep.
It's Michael James.
Hi, Michael.
I'm one of those people that's in that over 50 age group that was mentioned a few minutes ago. So I'm not going to comment on that. I'm just putting it in context of when I was a teenager, I went to some camps run by what was in the Royal Victorian Institute for the Blind. And the comments I would make is they pushed you really past your limits.
Yeah.
What I think we need to be really careful of, though, and I found those a magnificent eye-opening experience, that doing, you know, hiking up a mountain for 2 days or whatever is really, really good for some people.
Mm.
But we need to have it that for some people the challenge might be going for an hour's walk because they've never done it before.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we need to be really careful that we do things at levels. So yes. There's some people that will need to be challenged by something that we would all consider really challenging. But for people that maybe have grown up in an environment where going for a walk is a walk around the backyard, that going for an hour's walk through the bush where they've never been before could be a major and significant both achievement and challenge.
Yeah, so we need to meet people where they're at, don't we?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I think, that was one of the things that I heard from you guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, that came out of the teleconference that we had a while back, was that, for some people it was really hard and it was really challenging, and while it had a happy ending, that did present some challenges, and there may be ways to kind of, stream it a little bit more so that people don't feel out of their depth. So I think there's a fine line, though, because I know for me, one of the great things about attending the National Braille Music Camp was that it forced me out of my comfort zone, and I am very grateful for that. I wouldn't be sitting here now if that had not been the case.
Hi, it's Jessica.
Yes.
Sorry.
Sorry, no, go.
I went to a lot of camps as a child for vision. I didn't lose my sight until early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll be a good chance for us to have a camp where you have for adults as well. I'm struggling at the moment listening to you guys. I'm just trying not to cry.
Mm.
Still trying to get my head around, how I can do certain things.
Yeah.
So
what you're saying is that it's not limited to younger people, that it needs to be open to a whole range of people. And I always actually think that, mixing demographics can be a really good thing anyway, because you all learn from each other. I mean, if you listen to the stories that these guys have just told, you can certainly get a sense of that. I'm going to stop us there, much as I would love us to keep talking about this. And I want to first of all thank you all. I know it's been a very short session. I wish we could have made it longer, because I know we really only touched the tip of the iceberg. But I think the important thing is that we've started the conversation. Crystal and myself and others in the organisation are absolutely committed to this and committed to finding some funding to make something tangible happen. I like a good adaptive technology supplier, I'm not going to put a date on it because you never know. But certainly we're very committed to it. And I really want to thank Graham and Crystal for their vision on this and for making it happen, because not only has it been great for everyone who attended, it's also sparked off a relationship between BCA, BCNSW and Lighthouse for the Blind, which I think will have ramifications beyond just the Enchanted Hills camp. They do some other amazing work, which I haven't got time to tell you about, but I think that's really important too. So thank you both for that. So can we thank everybody.